Hello, and thank you all so much for joining us for this very special episode of The Backside of Water, about a very special attraction in a very special land in a very special park. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Ownby. Thank you for that very special introduction, Alex. That was very quiet.
Yes. In honor of this quiet, quaint little attraction, we're going to do a quiet, quaint episode. We dream and hope that this episode puts you as the listeners in the same relaxed, peaceful state of mind as the storybook land tour of a magical miniature world far, far away.
What a great idea. I'm going to make this episode my personal quiet riot. So I'm honored to join The Backside of Water once again for this fanciful little episode about a twee little attraction called the Storybook Land Canal Boats. I'm filling in for our skipper, Annie Rugit, who is on adventure in Europe right now. Annie, do say hello to the darling family if you run across them.
Cheerio, Addie.
And speaking of adventures, we decided the best way to explore this tiny attraction is to become tiny ourselves. So we pulled out the old Monsanto Mighty Microscope again to get small.
That's right. Dr. Sneck and his brilliant team of Imaginarians shrunk us at a ratio of 1 inch per foot, the same ratio the Imagineers used to build the scenes in Storybook Land.
Right, and after they shrunk us, we boarded the Merryweather, one of the Storybook Land canal boats.
Which could have been disastrous at our small size. Mm. Did you know that this attraction is one of the biggest doozies to board? Three generations of guests climbing in and out of free-floating boats has led to no small number of shin scrapes and bruises. Thankfully, the Disneyland cast member who helped us board didn't even blink when she saw our small frames. She accommodated us as she would any other guest. We climbed into her palm, and she nestled us safely in the front of the boat.
Oh, here we go. Ah, the gentle breeze is full of magic on this ride tonight. Storybook Land was one of the very first attractions Walt imagined for his park. And not Disneyland, but the very first park Walt imagined, a little park across from his studios in Burbank. In that park, Walt pictured a gravity flow canal boat.
I can't imagine how magical that little boat ride would have been. But a piece of that dream is warm and alive all around us on the Storybook Land canal boats.
It totally is, and of course, a boat ride through miniatures was one of the first things Walt wanted for Disneyland as well. It's been part of Disneyland since the very beginning. Walt's first idea for this attraction was to be a boat ride through Lilliputian Land.
Right. Lilliputians were tiny humans that first appeared in Jonathan Swift's 1726 novel, Gulliver's Travels.
Exactly. And what better name for a land full of miniatures than Lilliputian Land? Of course, like so many of Walt's ideas, he had inspiration.
Yes. When Walt and his wife Lillian traveled, they visited many parks and gardens. And Walt always looked for little things that tickled his fancy. He found that following those faint flights of fancy led to fantastic future ideas.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I just came up with that willy-nilly. Something about being so small makes me feel so clever. So, on one of his fine European vacations, they went to the Netherlands and found this little park called
Madura Dam.
Sakes alive, Alex. This is a family show. We are so sorry about that outburst, folks. Al, are you having a snack attack?
Not this time, Harry. That's the park's name. It was named after George Maduro. George Maduro, a Dutch law student, fought the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands during World War II as a member of the Dutch resistance.
And then he started the park after the war?
I wish that were so, my friend, but unfortunately he died in a Nazi concentration camp in 1945. Everyone called him a war hero, though, and after he passed, they awarded him top military honors for his part in the Battle of the Netherlands. And I've personally not been to Madura Dam. Madura Dam, am I saying that correctly?
Madura Dam, probably.
Madura Dam? Madura?
I don't know.
I'm making it, I'm anglicizing it. That's Madura Dam?
That's there, Madura Dam. Sounds like a real fine park.
And like we just said, we've never been to the park specifically, but in photos and videos that we've looked at, it's absolutely breathtaking. Even those who aren't fans of miniatures will get a lot out of watching any of those videos that you can find.
Yes, and it sounds amazing. It looks amazing. And of course, as an animator and filmmaker, Walt wanted to plus Madura Dam with moving figures in his miniatures. Unfortunately, this just was not technically possible.
That is correct. Walt's team hadn't perfected the technology that we used to shrink ourselves. Of course, the Monsanto Mighty Microscope took quite a bit of money and time to complete.
Right, and when this attraction first opened on July 17th, 1955, Wed Industries didn't have money or time for this little boat ride. Back then, this attraction was called Canal Boats of the World, and Walt had big dreams for this small attraction. Inspired by Madurodam and his love of miniatures, the attraction was to feature a leisurely boat ride through miniature scenes of famous world landmarks.
That reminds me of another attraction here in Fantasyland that opened in 1966. It's a small world how all that works.
It is.
I love seeing how Walt's ideas take different form as time moves on.
Yes, and the concept art for this attraction is actually really neat. So the concept art shows a winding river through miniatures of world monuments, and guests would get sweeping views of a colorful candy world called Rock Candy Mountain. Yes, folks, Rock Candy Mountain, or Candy Mountain, was going to be a mountain made of sweets. Right? It's Al's dream. So on the canal boats of the world, guests were to glide in and out of its sugary tunnels and enjoy the delicious scenery of giant gumdrops, candy canes, and lollipops. The mountain was supposed to be 6 stories tall, and Disney legends including Claude Coates, Harriet Burns, and Raleigh Crump drew concept art for it. Of course, you need a train going up the mountain, and this was supposed to be the Casey Jr. Circus train, which was imagined winding in and out of this sweet spectacle. And the candy to build this mountain was going to be repurposed props from, get this, Disney's Wizard of Oz movie. Yes, folks, the Disney studio had plans to make a movie based on one of L. Frank Baum's books in the Oz universe. So this movie never happened, and Candy Mountain did end up being real, but as a miniature, and things went wrong. They made it out of real candy and then took it outside. So before long, wildlife destroyed the model. What a way for a dream to end. Can't tell you. Yeah, I know, right? Can't tell you how many times birds and chipmunks have stolen my ideas too.
Wildlife has always destroyed my models.
It's a problem. It's a real problem, folks. Please write to us with stories of how your beloved models were destroyed by wildlife. So, but thinking about a mountain ride, a boat ride through a literal mountain of food, that sounds kind of gross, right? I mean, it's great, but if there's a mountain of food just sitting in the sun or rain, I don't know. It's kind of makes me unappetizing a little bit.
We'll just agree to disagree on that one, because honestly, my idea of a 12-story Dole Whip volcano that erupted pineapple juice every hour was actually the magnum opus of my great ideas, I think.
It was Mr. Stewart's opus, for sure. And you showed me the engineering blueprints that you drew, and I was surprised you took it that far, to be honest. There were schematics and everything. I do have to admit, though, that massive underground pump both impressed and terrified me.
Oh, boy. Don't get me started. That was a sweet pump, Harry. It's a shame it was discontinued because of a few minor incidents with the pneumatic ramshaft. You know, I always have to think back, if only human bone was just a little stronger.
It's the human bone that's the problem.
Anyway, back to the concept art for Canal Boats of the World. The ride was supposed to end with a slide through Monstro's mouth into a pond below.
So guests would see world monuments float through a mountain of candy and then fall into a whale's mouth?
Yes, that sounds weird, but when Canal Boats of the World opened, guests had a sweeping view of something even weirder, which was just a bunch of dirt.
If you're from another planet, maybe that's cool. Like, ooh, Earth. Gotta think of things like a Martian would.
So on either side of the river, there really wasn't anything more than just dirt. In fact, Disney executives nicknamed it the Mudbank Ride. Now, it did have 8 boats, and guests could see the Casey Jr. Circus train, but the boats had really loud motors.
Al, can you give me a decibel range of about how loud the motors were?
97 to 105.
Hot dog, that is a loud boat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 95 to or 93, I just made that number. Oh, I'm leaving. I'm getting off this boat right now.
Wow, Al, making up decibel stats. That's a new low. That's a new low, even for you.
So these boats were actually loud enough that it was hard for guests to talk over them, which is really kind of a comical thought, that here you have these little boats driving around in a river surrounded by dirt banks, and the boats are so loud that you can't even have a conversation. It so seems un-Disneyland-like to me. I don't know about you.
No, it completely sounds like the kind of park that Walt wasn't trying to build.
I think that's absolutely right. And one thing that I do need to throw in here is, on our last episode, we had talked, and we had a little bit of a factual gaffe that, I know, but at least we're willing to admit it. We're admitting it before the trolls get to us. We said in that episode that these canal boats of the world would open later after Casey Jr. did, but they actually opened at the same time. So that's our bad. But the ride only stayed open for a grand total of 2 months because of all of these issues. They closed it down in September 1955 and started some serious refurbishment.
Right. So they closed the attraction for 9 months and reimagined it with quieter boats, lush landscaping, and detailed miniatures. So, on June 16th, 1956, Storybook Land Canal Boats opened for the first time. A few Mouseketeers from the Mickey Mouse Club participating in the opening ceremony, and guests were delighted to discover that WED Enterprises paid attention to the tiniest details in these miniatures.
That is very true, and it's something you can really appreciate when you're 6 inches tall, just like us. Now, just like back in 1956, the hinges on the doors, believe it or not, actually work. This enables cast members to change the lights inside the buildings. That is such an awesome little detail.
That's amazing. I want to know how you get that job. And I also want to know if there's a light bulb joke up there that we're missing somehow. How many cast members does it take to change a light bulb in Storybook Land?
I got nothing.
So, speaking of lights, there's another curious detail. The lighthouse at the front of the attraction used to be where guests would present their sea tricks.
Is that an alien word?
They would perform tricks they learned while out at sea.
Come, sea tricks.
They would perform tricks with marine life to get into this attraction. They would present their sea ticket attraction. That's letter C, not S-E-A. That never existed, although that sounds like a good idea for the submarines, a sea ticket.
And to be fair, the S-E-A does exist, Harry. Listen to the S-E-A episode.
Okay.
Perfect plug.
Fair enough. So they present the sea ticket for this attraction in the 50s, and then it became a D ticket in the 60s and 70s, which that's pretty high up there.
That's hefty. That is
E is the best.
Exactly, and that's what's so crazy to me is that this became a D-ticket attraction. But how could we forget to mention the Disney legends who brought this attraction to life? People like Bill Evans, whom we speak about early on in the podcast. He's the Disneyland plant guru, made all of the tough gardening calls here.
Yes, he made the Jungle Cruise look like a jungle is how we first learned about Bill Evans. Mm-hmm. And that's a great story there. And of course, for something as tiny and precise as Storybook Land Canal Boats, the smallest plant mistake becomes a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust this level of advanced gardening to anyone else personally, Alex.
I don't blame you for that paranoia. And at our tiny height, we can really see just how perfect these plants really are.
Yes, and Bill Evans used scenes and concept art by the one and only Ken Anderson as inspiration. And legendary Disneyland model maker Fred Jerger made the models. Have you heard of Fred Jerger before?
I haven't. I like to think that his name is Jerger.
It's J-O-E-R-G-E-R, if y'all want to do an internet search of him. But he did. He was hired directly by Walt Disney from Warner Brothers.
Wow.
And he made a ton of models. So he was the Disneyland model guy.
That's so incredible.
It was a dream team for this Storytime world. And of course, if there was ever a cluster of talent in his company, it was really only a matter of time before Walt himself would show up.
And of course, he did. One of the bonsai trees on this attraction was planted by Walt Disney himself. And if...
Yeah, I could not find which one it was.
I was just going to ask that.
I don't think they want people to know, or like somebody might steal it or something. I could not find which bonsai tree it was.
So the only place that I would imagine that that would be placed for some reason, I can only see the bonsai trees in the Kensington Gardens portion of the attraction. So
the Peter Pan London Park, right?
Yes. The thing that's really cool about this is if properly cared for, one of the bonsai trees can last hundreds of years. So here's hoping that the one Walt planted lives to see 2000. How awesome would that be?
I hope you mean the year 2000, because I cannot wait, personally.
Do you think we'll have flying cars?
Federal Express will be Worldwide Express. That's my prediction.
I can honestly tell you I have never heard a worse joke in my life.
I am so sorry. And I do not have any stupid jokes to add. So the Storybook Land canal boats were one of Walt's favorite attractions. He loved miniatures so much.
And one of the things Walt said was that Disneyland would never be finished. The Disney company took that to heart. So in 1994, they added a few new scenes, including scenes from The Little Mermaid and Aladdin. They also added a few touches on the incomparable Monstro. If you watch carefully, you'll find his eye blinks every so often.
And you thought you imagined that wistful steam from his blowhole, but it's real. I love how this little attraction is all about detail.
Oh, yes. And speaking of details, have you noticed how quiet the boats are? In fact, they're actually now battery-powered. A far cry from the noisy boats of the canal boats of the world that ran for 2 months in 1955.
There's such a dreamy way to drift into a story. In 2005, Disneyland celebrated its 50th anniversary by painting the Tinkerbell boat gold and decorating the lighthouse with gold and burgundy.
Interesting. Do you know the significance of burgundy? I'm curious.
I don't know. I get gold because it's golden, you know, yeah. 50. But burgundy, I don't know. Was that like a theme for the 50th anniversary?
Not that I know of, but maybe it was a complimentary color.
Yeah, and it's a lighthousey color.
That's true. Well, and one of the things that I think is very cool is with the incredible popularity of Frozen, the Disney company once again refreshed the ride in 2014. They made the tiny village of Arendelle that included a castle, an ice palace, and old Wandering Oaken's trading post.
But they did have to move some models to make room for Arendelle, so they opted to move the three windmills from the award-winning 1937 Silly Symphony, The Old Mill. And they're currently in storage.
Now, I know this is going to be crazy coming from me, because I'm usually like the ultimate keep everything the way it is kind of guy. But I really, on my last visit to the park, I saw it again. And as you can see here in front of us, it works so well.
It is beautiful.
I think Arendelle works perfectly here. It captures the peaceful feeling, the majestic nature of Storybook Land. But I do have to say that it is sad to see the windmills disappear, but I do hope to see them returned someplace in the attraction, because for those who have not seen it, The Old Mill is a breathtaking short film. The calm during the opening and closing sequence of that film really do match the serenity found around you here on the canal boats. And real quick, one thing that I want to do before we move forward is here on the Backside of Water, we have recently decided to start the Backside of Water Movie Club. Now, what this means is every single month, we are going to, with the episode that we release, we're also going to release the name or the title of the movie that we are going to discuss in that same month. Now, this movie will basically match some sort of component about the attraction that we're talking about. And for this episode, the Storybook Land Canal Boats, we are actually going to be talking about the Old Mill short. So if you want to find access to the Old Mill Silly Symphony, feel free to watch it. And then at the end of April, I believe it's April 24th of 2019, we will be doing a live discussion on Instagram. And then we will also be doing a discussion on our Facebook group about The Old Mill, its influences in animation, and its placement inside of Storybook Land.
Yes, it really is a classic Disney piece, and it was really celebrated. Probably one, if one of the best, if not the best, cartoons to come out of the Depression era, because there just wasn't very much being made because everybody was in the middle of the Depression. So, but The Old Mill, they really rolled out everything. They have so much artistry in that short. It's definitely worth checking out.
And it's definitely worth joining that conversation, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, is more in depth behind the process of the creation of The Old Mill, because it really is a pivotal and monumental test film of sorts for the animation studio at that time. So join us over on Instagram and Facebook for that conversation. If you're listening to this before we do it. If you're listening to it after, just join the Backside of Water Movie Club as it's going and see what we're watching this month.
Yeah, do it. So that's something that I kind of, when going through Storybook Land, it is, I feel like maybe I do love the old mills and then the windmills and kind of what they represent, but Arendelle is beautiful. And I can just tell myself that things might disappear and reappear in this land, kind of like a favorite memory. So that helps me just, you know, things aren't always going to be the same, but there'll be enough of the same that it'll always be there.
Disney can't help but recall things that are of a nostalgic nature. So I agree. I think that the one thing that we also need to remember about Storybook Land is that it's all about setting here. And the attraction has over 465,000 gallons of water where you gently bob and enjoy the miniature scenery around us.
This really is the perfect attraction to ride whenever you want to slow down. I especially love it in the evening when these enchanted scenes come to life with a warm glow.
And for me, the evening is the best time for a story, to drift in and out of scenes that happened a long, long time ago, or perhaps have yet to happen. To breathe deeply and relax. To drown out the noise and activity of the daytime hours and take time to notice little details and wonder if they're imaginary or real, or the perfect combination of both.
Yes, on the Storybook Land canal boats, if you slow down and smile at the details smile back at you.
Very well said. And what better way to wrap up this lazy, dreamy ride through a miniature fantasy land then by riding past a beautiful waterfall. Believe it or not, Harry, behind that waterfall is a boathouse where they dock the canal boats when all the stories have been told for the day.
I'll tell you, Alex, that's mighty pretty to think about.
Well, Harry, the dock lies just around this corner. Folks, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the Backside of Water podcast on Apple Podcasts so you can be sure to get the latest episode when it releases. While you're at it, we'd love if you'd leave us a nice 5-star review as well. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook by searching for the Backside of Water podcast. And don't forget to tune into our sister podcast, Did You Know Disney? A show very similar to this one, though we open up the topics to any and every topic found within the wonderful world of Disney.
Well said, Alex. Well said once again. I just wanted to take a minute and say there's really nothing quite like riding this attraction at night when you're small. It really puts everything in perspective.
It really does. But remember, folks, we are trained professionals. Do not try to get this small or tall without a team of trained Imaginarians monitoring your vitals. So I have in my pocket, Harry, a desmallification extranulator.
What?
When I press the... Yeah, that's just what Sneck called it. When I press this button close to the extranulation circuit, we'll return to our regular size, or so I think. Hold on, because I've heard the process is intense.
Al, you're pulling my leg here. How can this process be intense when we're in a boat?
Ha ha, hold on.
Whoa, that was intense.
Ugh, I told you.
Told me what?
Never mind. It's our turn to get off the boat. Harry, don't forget to watch your...
Ow, my shin!
Gets him every time.
Hey, be careful, Al. It isn't as easy as it looks.
Ow! My shins!
Al, the boat is listing. Hold on. Al, you missed your step and hit your shins. Al, watch your language. Goodbye, folks.
They also added a few touches on the incomparable Monstro. If you watch carefully, you'll find his eye blinks every so often.
And you thought you imagined that wist... Wow.
It's a hard word.
I really wrote myself into a corner there. And you thought you imagined that wistful wisp of steam from his blowhole. Sorry, I can't say blowhole. I promise I'm grown up. But that's a real blowhole, brother. All right, I'm going to do that again.
All right.
And you thought you imagined that wistful wisp of steam from his blowhole, but it's real. I love I can't do wistful and blowhole in the same sentence. All right, here we go. And you thought you imagined... This is embarrassing.
Do you want me to take the line?
I seriously regret. One more time, okay. And you thought you imagined that wistful wisp of steam from his... from his blowhole. But it's real. It's real steam from his blowhole. I love how this little attraction is all about detail. I can't do it. All right.
Harry, how did you think we were just going to read this softly and quietly?
I don't know. But, so, what do you think? Should I do that again, or should we just leave it?
Let me try it.
Okay.
And you thought you imagined that whistle. No. I didn't think it was funny at all until I said it.
I didn't either.
All right, I'm going to try it.
Wisp of steam from his blowhole. That's
right,
all.
I'm trying it. Okay. I'm trying it. All right. And you thought you imagined that wistful wisp of steam from his blowhole.
Dude, I can't even breathe. His blowhole. Then what else do you call it?
Oh. Blow spot.
Oh my gosh. This is ridiculous, man. Okay, all right, here we go.
There's no way.
No, we can do it. Okay. I feel like I'm Nedry laughing, just like. Okay. Okay. And you thought you imagined that wisp.
It's not gonna happen.
No, I got it. Just one more pass. And you thought you imagined that wistful wisp of steam from his blow. It's not gonna happen. I can't. I don't know, man.
Oh, it's so bad. How could we not do this?
Wow. Okay.